The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
At bang on 9:30, it's great to welcome Professor Luke O'Neill. He's an immunologist and founder director of the Trinity Biomedical Sciences Institute. Live in studio. Luke, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Ryan.
Okay, you've become ubiquitous on the airwaves and in print and around the place because you are clear, concise in your detailing of what's happening since the pandemic began. And why we wanted to welcome you into the studio this morning is because there's a feeling about the place that some of the messaging has just gone a little off the boil, and there's confusion about the place. It seems, Luca, you can tell me, that at the beginning, when everyone was very compliant and very keen to be compliant, that there was a different vibe about the place, and something has changed in the last couple of weeks where as soon as they think that the restrictions started to be lifted, we started to get a little less compliant. What happened?
I think it's a good point. I mean, early on, it was a brand new thing. There was fear, wasn't there? Do you remember? And the lockdown really worked superbly well, by the way. You want to give people credit, right? It was a desperate business, let's face it. But fantastic compliance. I mean, you know, everybody responded very well. As time goes by, people get tired, they get fed up. How long is this going on for? Another Monday morning has come round. And so it's understandable human nature would be like that. That's why you need very strong leadership from the top. You know, the boss, be it the Taoiseach or Tony Houlton, very clear messaging, very clear instructions. And to give people hope. I mean, I'm a kind of glass half full kind of guy.
Sure.
Give people hope. There is a way out. If we do the following things, there's a way out. And that's gone off the rails slightly. And everybody's tired, not just the general public, you see. Like, I'm the same. I'm going, how long is this going to go on for? You know? So it seems relentless in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's also that thing of, stop telling me what to do. I'm kind of, I feel like I've been badgered by the state, badgered by the HSE, badgered by, but gosh, like, it's a pandemic.
And I've suffered as well, remember. I've been locked down for weeks and weeks, and give me a break.
Yeah, so how do we marry that? How do we marry the two? The frustration of people, totally founded in fairness on emotional exhaustion and beyond. How do we marry that with the need to be good is not the right word, but to be kind of so hyper-conscious of what we need to be doing.
You've got to tell people it's still a very serious thing first. This hasn't gone away in the famous words. The virus is still lurking. It's lurking in America. Massive disaster in the US, as you know. South America is a disaster. India, it's a horrible. The WHO are now on their knees begging for relief, basically, because this massive thing is happening all over the world. Ireland, we're doing very well, by the way. The virus has gone down in Ireland tremendously, as we saw the numbers. That's a big success story. But it's still there, and it's a very, very serious disease. This virus kills people. It's a brand new virus still. It's only been kicking around about 6 months, remember. Every day, Ryan, when I wake up in the morning, I see four or five brand new discoveries that morning about this virus. Brand new information, you see. So it's a fantastically interesting thing scientifically. Meanwhile, it's extremely serious. And tell people, look, it's still there. It's very serious, but there's ways we can beat it. You've got to give people hope and say there's ways we can actually conquer this. And we will beat it, by the way. I've no doubt about that. It's going to take time, though. And you keep reminding people of that.
Right. And you talk about the state of it in America, the state of it in India, the state of it in South America. And people say, yeah, but that's there. We're here. We're on this little island. The numbers seem to be really low. So what's everyone giving out about? Why are we so worried?
The number one fear is it's still out. It's still in Ireland, by the way. It's lurking somewhere. It could be in a meat factory. It could be in a hospital still. Remember, it's mainly healthcare workers were the ones who are getting infected because that's where the virus was.
We need
hospitals,
to mind
for
them.
Instance, absolutely. Nursing homes, remember, they were our biggest fear. There could be other pockets out there and therefore you might catch it. The other fact is, Ryan, very few of us are immune. Maybe 5% of the Irish people now would have had it and would be somewhat immune. We're not even sure if you have it, you won't catch it again. Science still is equivocal on that question. So the assumption has to be you've had it already, you'd no symptoms, and you might catch it again, right? And secondly, you may have it already and now you're spreading it with no symptoms. So you remind people it hasn't really changed much. What has changed, of course, is what we're doing, which is fantastic. The distancing, the mask wearing, hopefully, the hygiene. They're really good measures now to slow down this. It isn't like it was back in February, basically. So we've ways to stop it taking off again and keep reminding people of these things. And it's a tedious, isn't it? Let's face it. You're banging the drum, but we've got to keep banging that drum the whole time.
Would you get on an airplane in July?
No, Personally, I probably wouldn't, Ryan.
Why not?
Well, maybe that was over. If I could be assured of certain things, I would. Let's put it that way.
Wouldn't
Ryan.
We all do things if we
could? Wouldn't we? I know. Well, again, it's risk mitigation.
No, but you wouldn't go on a plane.
I would only go on a plane in the following circumstances. That if the airport has a proper testing regimen before you go into the airport, and that may be possible. So in other words, you arrive at the airport, you get a test, and if you're negative, you can go into the airport. That decreases me catching it off you. Secondly, when I'm on the plane, I want to make sure everybody's wearing masks. Great hygiene, great air circulation is the key thing, because that's another mitigator. You know, if all those things are in place and I'm confident they're there, then I probably would fly. But the truth is, planes are well known through decades. You catch the flu on an aeroplane. People spread viruses easily on planes because it's a confined space. So there's a few measures there. They are talking about those measures, by the way, you see, which still be in place. So if those measures are in place, then I would fly. But at the moment, I wouldn't be certain about flying.
And yet you hear people are booking holidays on, you know, in by the bucket load to go away, because again they're frustrated and they're saying they feel the messaging is okay. If the flight available, it must be okay to take it and fly. Here's my question. If they go en masse to Portugal, Italy, Spain, Britain, does this all increase the likelihood, not the chances, the likelihood of more than duty-free being brought back in the bag?
Well, that's the worry. Yeah, now what they're doing now, of course, is that they're looking at every single country. The Germans are good at this, by the way. They're measuring all the countries, looking at the numbers. If the numbers are very low, and they're as low as we are, which is fantastic, then you might buddy up with that country and go, it's safe or it's safer to travel to country X than country Y. Sweden, of course, is the pariah. None of the Nordic countries will allow travel to Sweden for the foreseeable future. Very few people will go to the UK for obvious reasons. So it can be a very nuanced thing. I think we will see a situation where certain countries will be accessible to us and vice versa, because the numbers have gone right down, you see, and then there's less risk of it spreading.
So it should be okay to travel again, but you offer a caveat to say, be careful.
Absolutely be careful. Yeah. I mean, if someone's going to fly to Portugal, get the mask on. You know, that's the key thing
on the
here.
Plane.
Absolutely. Wear the mask all the time, basically. And then wash your hand, the usual things again, you see. Now, remember, what's very nice, Ron, is the three C's are crystal clear. Always remember the three C's. The Japanese got this early on, right? And fantastic messaging, talking about that. There were posters all over Japan saying, avoid the three C's and you decrease your risk massively, right? Closed spaces is number one. That's indoors. Close contact between people and crowds. They are the three C's. Now, the worst place of all is a pub. It's almost as if this virus was invented to torture the Irish, you know, because an Irish pub has all the three C's, okay? So if you want to reopen a pub, mitigate against those three C's. You have to be looking at those three C's and saying, how am I going to handle the three C's?
Do you like a pint?
I love a pint.
Okay, you and me both. Okay, and here's the thing. When we go to the pub with our 9 euro meal that isn't a packet of peanuts, right, and we sit down and then the 90 minutes thing, and you just said about the Irish. I just don't believe we do 90 minutes. And I've heard it on the radio the last week or two, publicans saying, we're not kicking people out. They're going to test it. And also, who's going to police it? So what are we to do with that?
The biggest risk is alcohol itself, Ryan, as we know. After a couple of pints, you're my best mate, you are.
Hug.
You know?
Yeah.
And how can you resist that? And especially when we reopen pubs again, there'll be euphoria. We're back.
So what are we going to do?
Very hard. Very, very hard. And I've got sympathy for the pubs, as we all would.
Imagine a lounge boy, lounge girl or a pub owner saying, lads, your 90 minutes are up.
Well, did you see on Claire Byrne, right, she had a clock beside each seat?
Yeah.
Nah, that's not going to work, is it? I mean, they're going to be pretty sterile places. People are wearing masks, there's hand sanitizers.
So we're taking a step into the dark.
We are. There's a risk with the pubs for definite, because they're the worst type of environment. Now, if the Vintners Association can convince me and you that they're mitigating against the three C's, then you might go into a pub.
Okay, because I've had a couple of pints of Guinness. And I'm just saying this because there's a pub nearby that's doing delivery service and they come in plastic, but I wanted it and they delivered and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Self, my brother, having a chat, a few pints in the kitchen. Perfect. And the way you're talking would dissuade me from probably jumping back into the pub and just sticking with that regimen, if you like.
Yeah.
Just, and it would also dissuade me from getting on a plane going abroad when we have this country that could do with an economic boost anyway.
Yep.
This is where I'm thinking on the hoof here.
Yeah.
Is that me being too nervous? Because I think there's this, I'll get to this point, that there's a slight divide societally to those who are saying we're grand.
Yeah.
And those who are saying we're not grand yet.
Well, again, it's human psychology. Some people, Ryan, will do a bungee jump. Some won't. You know?
Okay, I won't.
You know what I mean?
That's a fair point.
Maybe you have ever done a bungee jump.
No, I never want to.
You're in that category.
Yeah,
where 10% can't wait to bungee jump. So I think it's a bit like that. It's human nature in a way.
Yeah.
And we know, I think there was a survey, 37% of Irish people are still frightened. That's how serious.
37%.
Okay. So a lot of people are still frightened.
Are you frightened?
Not especially, no, because I can now I'm watching what's going on very carefully, by the way.
Are you worried?
I'm optimistic. We're in the middle of it, though. So my fear would be we won't get a vaccine. There's still a chance of that, for instance, you see. My second fear is we won't get fantastic medicines by the time autumn comes around to treat sick people. Now there is great progress there. Having said that, I'm very optimistic we're going to, if we just keep going with the science. Science will get us out of this, by the way. There's no question. Science is the answer.
Dr. Fauci was saying yesterday at hearings that there's a vaccine by the end of this year. He's hoping.
That's optimistic,
I think. That's fingers crossed.
That's very much, if every single box is ticked. I mean, the quickest vaccine ever, Ryan, was 4 years. That was for mumps. 4 years, and that was seen as very fast.
What year was that?
That was in the 60s, mind you.
60s.
It's a good point, though. Technology's moved on.
You would hope.
We've got whiz-bang techniques. That was a good example, actually, is the company called Moderna. They're at the front of the vaccine effort. They're going really fast.
Yes.
They managed to get a candidate vaccine in 63 days from when the virus was discovered. That was remarkable. The quickest one before that was, remember Zika virus?
Yes.
That took 190 days.
But the
that
head
was a couple
was,
of years. That was the one.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was three times faster than Zika, which is fantastic. You know, there's 18 vaccines in humans as we speak being tested. They're looking reasonably good. They're getting an immune response.
Okay, I like the sound. That's hopeful.
Oh,
stuff.
Definitely.
Luke, what about the supermarket and the mask? Just very quickly, because I know that, and it's not a finger pointing going, we should have done this earlier. We're here now, so let's talk about the now. I was having had a very mild version of it. I was kind of going on the immune thing, and then the more I heard about it, the more people said, "Well, we don't know, so don't be too cocky about that." Because I had my post COVID swag, and I said, "Steady now, because we're not 100% sure. Yeah. But careful." So I took the advice of people, listeners, and people to say wear the mask in the supermarket.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that now. Should we all be doing that?
Absolutely.
Everyone.
Well, you see, what happened there was 3 months ago, I would have said I wasn't sure about masks because the science
that's
hadn't been
stuff.
The
yeah.
science hadn't been done.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And that's the way science is, by the way. People say to me, you've changed your mind. Well, I changed mine because the science told me stuff.
And it's an evolving story.
Exactly, yeah. So 3 months ago, it was a bit equivocal. The science got stronger and stronger. And remarkable science was done around masks. Now, it's a pretty dull area. 10 years ago, who would work on masks? Because nobody was dying from these things. Yeah. Massive effort, very good evidence. If you and I are wearing masks now, it decreases our risk 99%. Isn't that fantastic?
So massive.
Massive, because I'm not giving it to you, you're not giving it to me.
Yes.
That's what it's about,
but
the
we're
way.
Socially
I'm protecting the other person.
Now, so we're okay.
Even if we were up front, but even if you're in a pub, if that can happen, if we're very close to it, that 99% decrease, because it's obvious in a way, the mask is trapping the virus, you see, and it isn't spreading between us. So the clear, everybody's on the one page at last, wear masks. When you can't maintain 2 metres, wear a mask. You'll decrease by 99%. And that's fantastic, isn't it? So we have a weapon now to stop this virus spreading. And it's just a cotton mask. This is like a regular cotton mask, by the way.
Face covering, or whatever
face covering
you want to call it.
Yeah, exactly.
If I go to the supermarket and it's in a shopping centre, I'll drive my car, park it, and I'll go up the escalator and I'll go to the door. And it's at that point I put the mask on because I'm going to go in. Because here's my next question to you. And we'll get to there's like hundreds and hundreds of questions coming. We'll get to as many as we can in a second. But just want to clarify this. It's at that point I put it on. When I see people walking along the road with the mask on, I think you're outdoors. I wonder about the wisdom of it. It's all about proximity. And then you're taking it off and you've only the one mask. So now you're touching it and therefore it's contaminated and dead. And it's on your chin because you want to stop and talk to somebody, which again defeats the purpose. Can you give us a bit of clarity on that?
Well, again, it's decreasing risk. It's all about that. So the instructions are very simple. You wash your hands, put your mask on, go to the supermarket, go on the dart or whatever, right? Travel and you're near people now, remember. You don't need to wear it when you're outdoors because the air is
that's
blowing.
That's a good answer.
It's only when you're in this enclosed space, really. You're mitigating against the closed space idea here in the contact. That's what the mask is mitigating against. You come home, take your mask off and wash your hands. That's all you have to do. And then you're decreasing any risk of picking it up and putting your hand to your face and all that kind of stuff. Try to avoid touching it. Again, you might touch it once or twice. Don't be fidgeting with it. You know, try and avoid touching it and then you decrease the risk.
If you take it off to talk to somebody and put it back on again?
It's okay very briefly if they're 2 metres away or 1 metre away.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Because remember, the great analogy, Ron, is imagine this is a fire burning in our cities, this virus, which it literally is in some ways. It's been awful. And you're breathing embers. The fire might start again. So the mask is stopping the embers, kicking off another outbreak, you see. So that's what the mask is all about.
And you wear a mask in the supermarket, I take it. I mean, and I do now. And would you be disappointed if your family member of yours and you met them in the supermarket weren't wearing a mask?
Ryan, more than yourself, I've got kids and they torment me because they won't. Why haven't you got your mask on? You see, and especially young people, they're not wearing them. The compliance is atrocious, really, at the moment. I mean, they're talking about 20, 30, 40% compliance. That's not good enough. It's got to be 70, 80% compliance. Now, I'm not blaming people. It's a new thing. People don't like it. You know, we're beginning to. My biggest fear, Ryan, is the autumn. There's a real fear it'll come back in the autumn with a vengeance. We have to be wearing masks in the autumn as a weapon.
What is that about the autumn? Is it because flus and...
Well, we're back indoors. Here's a great fact.
On top of each other again.
See, the science is brilliant. If you go outdoors, just by being outdoors, you decrease your risk 19-fold of getting this virus. Really? It's a massive decrease in risk because it's enclosed spaces at one of the seas, you see. So therefore, when we come to the winter, most viruses go up, and like the flu is a great example. So we've got to be ready now. And we can beat it if we wear masks. That's a key weapon we can use to stop this happening.
Okay. What we're doing is we're going to take a break for a minute and a bit. And then the questions coming in from swimming pools to ferries to hugging. All very, very, very smart questions that are relevant to the everyday. So Professor Luke O'Neill is with us live in studio. You're happy to stick around for a little
Absolutely.
Longer? Thanks, Luke. Sure. See you in a sec.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, Luke O'Neill live in studio with us. Let's get busy with our listeners this morning. 51551. Luke, do you think ships or ferries are safer places than planes?
They are, because you can be up on deck. You see, isn't that fantastic? Because the wind is blowing, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But again, it's the density of the people. Like, there's pubs on ships as well. You've got to keep remembering it's closed spaces, close contact and crowds. If you can decrease all those, and a ferry, why not get up on deck? The wind blows. I can't emphasise enough, Ryan, being outdoors is a massive decrease in risk.
And the meteorological gods have been shining on this country from the day one of this thing. I mean, we have been quite fortunate about the amount of time we can spend outdoors. Luke, is it okay to give the grandchildren a quick hug?
Yeah, I think it is at this stage. You see, the good news is, Ryan, the virus has gone right down. So the risk is going away all the
time.
That
is really good news.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And a very quick hug. I wouldn't be hanging around too long.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but you wouldn't anyway.
And let's not cough over them. Just, quick hug is fine at this stage. Because we know the virus is really low in Ireland, which is fantastic news for us all, isn't it? And again, a big thumbs up to the Irish people for achieving that.
Yeah, really amazing. Margaret wants to know, is it necessary to wash the grocery shopping when I bring it home before putting it away?
No. Definitely not. They've done studies on this.
Great news.
But there is a tiny risk that someone's coughed over your cream crackers
Highly
or whatever.
Unlikely.
But it's very unlikely.
So don't be wiping down.
No need to wipe down shopping.
Good news. Michael Hogan, advanced driving instructor, wants to know, any advice for driving instructors and their students who are due to resume training next week? I mean, that is proximity.
Well, again, remember the three C's. Keep the windows open. Have an uncomfortable... One piece of advice, Ryan, you'll love this, by the way. If you open a restaurant, great ventilation is needed in the restaurant. Almost uncomfortable, it says in the guidelines.
It does.
A good breeze blowing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're in a car, open all the windows. Wear masks. Remember the 99% decrease in risk of you catching it off the person you're instructing. If both of you are wearing cotton masks, 99% decrease in risk. Keep the wind blowing through the car. Wipe everything down afterwards just in case.
It's kind of simple in its... It's irritation, but it's simple. How do swimming pools rate in terms of infection rates?
They're fine as long as there's not 1,000 people jumping around them. You know, again, the crowd issue there might be at risk, but there's no worry about the virus lurking in the water, for example, you see, so they're fine.
Can a group of 4 to 6 sensible students go camping for a weekend next month if they don't live together? They should, of course, have been having a more exciting summer at the age of 21. But what do you think?
Yes, outdoors, great. You know, now if you're in a tent, by the way, that's an enclosed space. Don't be all cramming in there. Try to maybe bring 3 or 4 tents with you to make sure you're not all together
up.
In a tent. A mask up, precisely.
Mask up. What about groups of young people heading off for summer adventures around Europe?
There's a massive risk with young people anyway, because they're all hanging out together in groups, and again they're going against the three C's in a way. If they go as a big group to a country where the virus is lurking, that's got to be a risk, because they might pick it up and then bring it back here. So just the trick again is keep remembering, avoid crowds, avoid closed spaces. Don't go to countries where the virus is still rampant. I wouldn't be going near Arizona or Florida or those places at the moment, because there's a real risk there, you see.
The meat factory in Germany, they had to close it. Did I see 1,000 workers were being tested? If I was saying the other day, if 10 of those were rogue COVID deniers, because there are people who just don't believe it, Imagine the damage they could do.
Well, there will be, Ryan. That's the problem. You can't fully stop it spreading in a way because human behaviour, you know, they won't go along with the guidelines, some of them, and so on. So that's why we worry about this, basically, you see. But in Germany this morning, 630,000 people are back in lockdown in Germany, around that.
Really? Over half a million?
Over half a million are back in their houses again. Now, that was an unusual case. We know meat factories are big risks, by the way, because, again, it's enclosed. Lots of shouting inside a meat factory, strangely, because they're all shouting at each other. Definitely. And sadly, they live together in these very poor accommodation, and it spreads in that crowd, you see. So that's why meat factories are a place to watch out. In Ireland, we got to think about that. Where are the places where this might be lurking? And of course, the HSE are doing that, which is great. They're trying to spot that already.
Okay, good stuff. My son is having a play dates again in our home. If I bring his friend in the car with us to the park, which we like to do, should both children wear masks in the back of the car?
It wouldn't be any harm. They don't give guidelines that children should wear masks for all kinds of reasons, because they won't wear them anyway and they're fidgeting and taking them off. So it's a bit hard on a kid, is that, to be wearing masks. But that wouldn't be, there'll be no harm in it. You certainly decrease risk in that situation.
Okay, but it's not going to be a massive problem. I work in an enclosed studio. Sanitising equipment is difficult. I share microphones. Is this advisable, and how long can the virus stay in the air? And I didn't write that.
Well, am I your first guest in weeks, right? Because this room actually is one issue, because the aerosol effect, you know, because the virus might linger.
We've got to watch that. I should have worn a mask.
You've got to keep the surfaces clean in here.
Yeah, well, they are, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's good news. Luke says driving lessons could happen with the windows down. Instructors need the windows up to be heard. There would be 10 interactions every day with strangers, no social distancing. Derry,
that's a good point. Yeah.
But at the same time, we have to evolve with this and
live
with this.
If it's possible to do it with the windows open, then I'd do it. Maybe the masks are a big help here, by the way, Ronnie. If you have to shout slightly, good mask on will catch that spit.
For sure. When can partners who do not live together travel in a car together?
Well, again, you see, the issue with cars is interesting because it's in closed space and close contact. You've got to remember that, you know. So again, if there's a risk of picking it up, get the windows open and drive. And the time is the key variable. The more you spend with someone, the increase the risk is. So if you're with someone for like an hour, that's a reasonably high risk than, say, 5 minutes would be, because the chance of you coughing on them or talking to them and the virus jumps in. So keep the time of those journeys short.
Keep them short. Should we be doing more to highlight the long-term effects of having COVID? What about those symptoms?
That's a superb question, Ryan. That's a worry now. There's always good and bad news, isn't there? I mean, what we're learning about this virus is once you get over it, you'll have symptoms that might go on for weeks and weeks. And fatigue, it's well known with the flu, by the way, post-viral fatigue syndrome is one long-term thing. But people are having trouble breathing even 6 to 8 weeks after having the virus. That tells us it's a very serious disease, you see. And of course, doctors now are measuring these post-viral symptoms all the time.
Okay. I have to watch that. My sister and her family will be visiting from overseas for a 2-week holiday. This is another concern, people coming into the country. Can we visit them in their holiday home, even if it's only outdoors?
Outdoors, again, is perfect. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Keep away from them, sadly, you know.
If you were a dictator who was interested in draconian measures, would you close the borders?
That's the next fear. So in other words, if we get the virus to almost zero in Ireland, our only risk is externals coming in, remember. That's the major risk. So therefore, we've got to look at those borders. How do we control the border? Now, we are in the EU, you see, so that gives us... New Zealand's easy, because they're locked out completely there, you know, in an island. But you've got to watch that closely. I wouldn't close them. I'd open with the countries that we decide to buddy up with. Germany's doing that. Germany is saying certain countries will welcome people in because the virus has gone in those countries. Now, again, there's a risk. The key next thing, Ryan, is test, trace, isolate. As soon as there's an outbreak, clamp that down immediately. You know, now sadly in Germany, over half a million people are locked down, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're the best country in the world at this.
And that's population. So if there's an isolated case, you know, this is in the next months or whatever, in Kerry or Connemara or whatever, they were talking about localized lockdowns, and that probably takes the pain out of it for the rest of the country. But
there won't be another national lockdown. That's for definite.
Well, that's
there will be a localized lockdown. I think Sam McConkie, my good collaborator, he said you might have to put a town into quarantine at worst, that kind of thing. Cordon sanitaire. So there won't be another massive lockdown.
Are we permitted to make short visits to the homes of family and friends? What is the recommended recommendation regarding hand towels? So if you call into somebody's house and use their sink or whatever, should visitors bring their own towels? Would that be helpful? Or bring hand sanitizer? Or should the host provide towels? And are these towels safe to use?
Well, again, it's your appetite for risk. if you're concerned, bring your own hand sanitizer and keep your hands clean, you see. So that's the advice there.
Why aren't we testing for antibodies to get a true picture of prevalence?
Well, how long have you got for that, Ryan? Honest to God,
I know.
Is my area now. So
okay.
That's a worry, that one. Sadly, the evidence at the moment, this might change, if you have antibodies, they go away over time. There was a 22,000 patient study in America published yesterday,
okay,
who had really good disease measurements. All the antibodies began to go away in those people. Now, that's a concern because that means you won't build up immunity, you know. It looks like what we call the Goldilocks effect, by the way. This is great, right?
Yes.
If you've got a mild disease, that's a bit too cold for the immune system. If it's too hot, you get really sick. You got to be in the middle, you know, and then you might be protected. So there'll be a range of protection
spectrum
there.
Of some sorts.
You need to have a really nasty kind of course, and then your immune system's very active, and that might protect you in the future, you see. So yeah, that's one idea. But many have mild disease and they may not be protected. That's the harsh reality that we're looking at.
I'm not sure where to go with all that. You have so much food for thought. I just got one from Barry, who says, I'm currently cocooning as I'm very high risk a category. I have two kids that normally attend a creche. Does Luke have an opinion on whether it's safe for me to send the kids back to the creche in the coming weeks?
It depends on what he means by high risk. I mean,
high risk.
Yeah, that's a worry. Yeah, I mean, okay, if you're high risk, one example, Ryan, is if you've heart disease, let's say you're in your 40s with heart disease, yeah, your body's like a 90-year-old when it comes to this virus. That's how risky really? It is. You're like an older person. So now you can mitigate against this. Wear the masks. All the measures can be used, but be very careful is the advice for people who are high risk.
Luke, I'm so happy you came in to talk to us today because I do feel clarity and hope, which is exactly what we want to achieve. There's fear there, but it's not unreasonable or unfounded. It's based on science and evidence. So thank you for that. Really appreciate that. You've been playing a blinder for us as a country with the information in the last number of months. So appreciate that too. And I'd love to talk to you about yourself next time. So we might do that.
That's less interesting, Ron. Hang on.
I've been reading about you. You've got lots to say. So let's do that maybe in August, with your permission. Sure. I'd love to have a longer conversation with you. But today was all about trying to get some light into the fog, and you've done that with great aplomb. So thanks, Luke, to you and your family. Mind yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, Ron. Thanks
thank
very
you
much.
Kindly.